Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth on our weekly visit to Fran Berry's house. It is Fridays with Fran as we look ahead to Dundalk, but we also, of course, cover all of the news in the horse racing world, or at least all the stuff that we think is warrants talking about. Fran Berry, how has your week been?
Week has been good, PK, yeah. Dundalk yesterday, Wednesday, it was like summer up there, actually. I was in a jumper and a jacket, a light jacket, so global warming was definitely at Dundalk yesterday, and I backed a winner, actually. Made a few quid, so not too bad, yeah.
Which one was the winner?
The Gavin Cromwell Musical Rhapsody. I thought she was a good each-way price of 10 to 1. She went off 3, so the Gavin crew were obviously well on, but I was happy enough, yeah, so that was good.
You got the 10s, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Come I didn't on, have enough bro. On, though.
Always the way, isn't it? You'll be back with Kevin on Friday night. I enjoyed your coverage last Friday, where most of the horses you tipped were either backed, or I think the only one that wasn't was Might and Mercy, and she still ran a good race. Kevin was very keen to ask how many of these you did back. He seems to be getting stuck in himself here, Kevin O'Ryan, isn't he?
He likes a bet, yeah. He's quite shrewd, Kevin. He kind of soaks everything up and goes with a double or each way double or something. He's had a bit of luck in recent weeks. And and obviously as a jockey's agent, he might hear about a nice horse that comes in or whatever. So I tend to listen on and see what he can pick up, you know.
The privileged position to be in, isn't it? All these trainers ringing him saying, oh, this will win, Kevin. Give me your best. And he'd be like, I'll give you my best, but hang on, I'm just on pettypair.com here, 2 seconds.
They all fancy everything, though, trainers, don't they? You know, so you got to sift through all the wreckage, I suppose.
Exactly. After the first year of going, this fella's always right, or at least right most of the time. most of the time, fair enough. Well done last week, Fran. Particularly, we kind of jest about your saying that the Rooney, Halford, Ronan Whelan trio are going to have a good night. Boy, oh boy, do they have a good night. Your Knapp Sleeve Binion with form figures of 007 and a couple of zeros. Can you believe the SP?
No, I couldn't. I could not. I admit I backed him at 4-1 that morning or Thursday night. And I thought, you know, 2-1, 3-1 was a fair price, but nearly off you text me or sent a tweet. Yeah. Odds on, I couldn't believe it. But one like that, yeah, won extremely well. It's got a big hike in the weights, but job done for us anyway.
Yeah, job done for Halford Rooney. That's Paul Rooney, the colours.
I was almost getting for the picture with the team, you know, afterwards.
Well, it was coincidental that you were very keen on him, who had no form. Well, okay, it's not that he had no form, but realistically, you did call out that maiden run, which was good, but should never been odds on. And then Kialak went on to win as well in the same colours. So it's just had the feel of old-fashioned Christmas money job, didn't it, those two? Just had that.
It did, and never going to get beaten, I suppose. Yeah. They're two, you know, two grass type horses run in the winter game, and we're a little bit unlucky with a couple later on today, Rockview Consort and that, but I think the brunt of the action was done early, and hopefully people made a few quid. Yeah
big time. I was watching, you guys were trying to get the place put up. I think he got very far. Did you get it yourself?
Yeah, missed out in the last leg. Typical for the Irish Injured Jockeys Fund. We give it a go every week, but it's always one, isn't it? It's just
what did it pay? Do you know what it paid?
Not a clue.
Okay. All right. I always do that to myself. I always go like, oh, that's what it paid. And sometimes you'd be on at a shorter price. Obviously, you'd be taking a few quid off. But yeah, I love the old self-flagellation. Right. Let's talk Dundalk. We're going to go through the card as per usual. What we're going to do in between races, we'll talk about all things in the horse racing. We'll look back at Cheltenham. We'll look forward to the weekend in Ireland. We'll also have a quick look to Bahrain. It's a busy old week for the Middle East. Certainly busy all weekend anyway. But we kick off with a couple of maidens, Fran, the 5 o'clock. I'll tell you what, before we kick off, a reminder, I've already forgotten, Paddy's Pick 5 is back. By the time you listen to this, it'll be out for the weekend Saturday. It was won again last weekend. We had, of course, the 3 days. It was won on the Sunday, possibly by one person, actually, I think. I think there's a few winners on one of the days. And then on another day, one person bagged the lot, 25 grand. Free to play. I must remind you, free to play, free shot at winning 25 grand. It'll be 5 races. And by the time this podcast is live, check the show notes and we'll bring you straight there and you'll know which 5 races. And Ruby and Rory will be dissecting all of the Saturday and Sunday action tomorrow. We're recording Friday morning, so that should be out Friday early afternoon. We'll be looking ahead to a busy weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. ITV cameras will be at Punchestown as well as Exeter on Sunday. Okay, Fran, opening maiden on the card, the 5 o'clock. We've got two maidens to kick off the card. Colts and Geldings first, then the fillies. Both races over a mile. Obviously, again, we're working without prices, but I'm expecting, maybe rightly or wrongly, that the Timely Boost is going to be the one to beat in this opening maiden on the card. Hard to know what Joseph's newcomer, Sea of Cortez, will be like. What are your thoughts, Fran?
Yeah, Sea of Cortez, trained by Joseph, will be interesting. Joseph had a first-time out winner yesterday at Dundalk. You usually associate a stable debutants improving for their initial outing, but this time of the year, running at a mile, you'd imagine that Sia Cortez has done plenty of homework to get him ready to try and get that two-year-old win, if you like, and monitor the market for him. That's the only way you can play that horse in a Timely Boost, number 11. Very well backed and well talked up on debut, Torless, where he shaped with promise, and he definitely built in that on his Polytrack run over 7 furlongs 16 days ago, finishing off well. That day, it was very tough conditions. There was a really strong headwind and it wasn't easy for horse to pick up from off the pace. And I thought he shaped very well. And given that Shadowed, whom was third, is rated 88, and the Frontier trained by Aidan O'Brien, is probably a good maiden on the day and a lot to like about the run. Just not overly sold on him. I'm not quite a believer in Timely Boost yet. And I'm going to go elsewhere, PK. I'm going to go a little bit off the reservation and take a little bit of an each way punt on number 9, Sea Spray, trained by Jessica Harrington. It's very well talked up on debut for all that. He went off at a 4-1 chance, but that maiden at the Curra, Al Riffa, Group 1 winner, won at Salt Lake City, Fleetfoot, all rated in the 90s. Boy Scout was 5th, and it's a maiden that's worked out quite well. Sea Spray finished 10th of 11th, but I don't think that result tells the full story. He hit the gates, he was far too keen early on, and he cut out most running before fading inside the final 2 furlongs. I just thought it was a run full of promise. His Sire Zooster, I think, switching to the Polytrack should suit him very well. And in a race where I don't think there's a lot of strength and depth, Timely Boost will be overbet in the market unless Sea of Cortez is a popular pick or a pick for Joseph Bryan, well backed for Joseph Bryan. I think Sea Spray could be value.
Niall McCullough, veteran of the Wayroom Ride, Sea Spray. Is Dusty Foley injured, suspended, or back from Japan yet?
He rode in rode in Dundalk yesterday. Of course, Magic Lagoon, the rain arrived. Did no rain in Hanshin race course for 2 months. Sunday morning, the rain arrives and it's biblical by all accounts. And Magic Lagoon bombed out fast ground filly. So that was a shame for connections. And he's off in a stag party there tomorrow. I think it's about maybe 10 or 12 jockeys missing tomorrow from the roster and they're all in Prague. So
Prague for a stag this time of year. Oh, the Christmas markets. I'm sure all the culture. They'll be just soaking it in. All of the culture.
€3 pints is what I heard anyway. So
that is the culture of Prague, all right? Yeah, that is a bit of Budvar and Starro Ramen and what else. Oh, good stuff. Enjoy it, Dusty. I'm sure you're listening. So Shane Foley on a stag. Chance for Niall McCullough to get a nice winner there for Jess Carrington in the opener. Speaking of the Japan Cup, obviously Magical Lagoon in the Queen's QB2 or whatever they call it. Poor old Alpinisi, you were about to ring, weren't you? You're about to contact Luke Morris ahead of Alpinisi going to Japan Cup and then boom, gone.
Yeah, it's a shame. Literally an hour after we came off in air last week, obviously got a slight injury and game over, unfortunately for her. And unfortunately for the race, she would have brought a lot to it. An ARC winner, what, 6 Group 1 winner, time Group 1 winner. So that's a shame. And I see Broome is not going now as well as of this morning. But hey, it's on next week. We'll do a good preview of the Japan Cup. It's an interesting race in its own right. So we'll try and find a winner of that, yeah.
Good man, Fran. No better man. Yeah, that's the Japan Cup. There's plenty of other international racing, which we'll get to as well. The Bahrain Trophy is this weekend. We'll talk about that in a few moments' time. Let's go to the second race at Dundalk. This is another maiden, as mentioned, this one for the fillies. And, looking at possible favourites here, Sweetest Rose with Gerlines and Colin Keane. Likely favourite. She's placed on a couple of occasions already. You've got Tide Pool, an interesting Dermot Weld newcomer by Frankel, but Donna O'Connor will ride. So my guess is that Chris Hayes is in Prague.
Chris is getting married on Saturday, so it's all happening to wear him at the minute, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So, Dusty Foley having a stag and Chris getting married. I tell you, Colin Keane could mop up here. He wasn't invited either, poor Colin.
Well, it's Gary Carroll's stag party. So maybe he's flying out on Saturday. Of course, Gary's second jockey in Gerlines. So it's, so maybe that's a tip in itself to Colin has declined to go on day one of the stag, yeah.
All right, he'll be there for day two.
I'd assume he is anyway. Yes,
I did see him down in Leicester Picnic actually. He enjoys the party, I'll call him. Rowan Whelan. Yeah. They're having a good time. Gives the winner of the 5:30.
All depends on the debutants, really. Swedish Rose ran very well last week. She was our nap of the day, or one of the main plays when she ran 2 weeks ago. Beginning stepped forward massively and was very impressive for Aidan O'Brien on the day. Just not convinced about Swedish Rose at a mile. I thought Colin was very conservative in the way he rode her on her last start. He broke well out of gates, but he's intent on taking her back to get a lead over the 7 furlong trip. Now, ridden with restraint, she finished off well, just being by Dark Angel and not quite overly sold on her stepping up to mile. And she looked quite weak 2 weeks ago. And I think backing up quickly, stretching out a furlong and trip, I think she's opposable. Now, look, you're dealing with debutants. Geraldine's a second string. Gulf Pearl is related to Bolshoi Ballet. Is interesting on pedigree for all that. That one is a second string. And Mick Halford's got a well-bred newcomer, number one. And Joseph O'Brien has danced the night away, who's quite interesting on pedigree, number three as well. So look, you're shooting in the dark to some extent, PK, and what you're taking on, but I have to take on Swedish Rose. And as a filly I quite like in the race, it's number eight, Moonlight Mist, trained by Joe Murphy. Very well bred. She runs in the Magna Colours by Australia, and she was a standout eye catcher on debut at Turles. She missed his start by 10 lengths at least out of gates, and was the best finisher in the final furlong, finishing fifth, only beating 4 lengths. And I think going to Goran Park a couple of weeks later, the ground was extremely testing. She had a rough trip throughout the run and looked to get bogged down in the ground before getting hampered a furlong and a half out. Still finished fourth, albeit beating 12 lengths. I just think switching to the surface will suit her very well. Big, tall, athletic filly. And having had the benefit of them two runs, Gary Carroll will be in Prague. He's not riding. Gavin Ryan takes the ride. And for me, she's going to be value in this race when you're taking on a lot of unknown quantities like the Joseph O'Brien pair, the Halford runner, and the Geraldine second string. Have to take on Moonlight Rose. The favourite I have to take on is Swedish Rose, and Moonlight Mist will be value.
Okay, Moonlight Mist for Joseph Murphy. Gavin Ryan takes the ride. That is the selection for the second race on the card. Now, the third race, we get into the handicaps, and with the handicaps come extra places. I'm just listing them off here. 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and 8:30. All of them, 4-place races instead of three. So extra place value will be plenty of it at Dundalk. And no doubt, Fran will pick out a nice little itchy-waisy travel. You got three of the four into the places last week.
I know. Yeah, nearly happened.
Sure,
hopefully someone done a Yankee or something and got paid on the travel or something like that. But anyway,
You would hit the crossbar, but it definitely would have made a few quid regardless. Yeah, if you put it in a Yankee, each way Yankee. Right, before we get stuck into those handicaps, what about last week at Cheltenham? I was really excited about the racing going into the November meeting. Look, I was a little bit flat after a few non-runners. Obviously, Nube Negra beat nothing, and Gentleman to Me was disappointing, and Willie Mullins pulled out a couple of others, including Flame Bear. But anyway, that's just me, grumpy. Was there a horse there you saw at the weekend that you thought, that'll win at Cheltenham Festival?
No. Simply good answer. Banbridge, very likable horse, but I don't think he'll be the best of the Irish novices. For all it looks like, he's going to progress better for fences. Of course, he won the Martin Pipe, which has been a productive race for horse to go on and do well. What he beat on the day is questioned, but he looks to have a very good appetite for chasing. Well placed by Joseph O'Brien, as usual, to go and pick up a good pot in the colours of Ronnie Bartlett. Queen's Gamble, very, very impressive in winning the bumper for Oliver Sherwood. Loved the way she went through the race, and it'd be interesting to see what to do with her in the future. I think the Cheltenham bumper was mentioned post-race. When that race has been run, I actually went to the pub for a couple of pints. So I know I'd vision, but no sound, if that makes sense. So I'll have to read up the quotes on that one. And again, John McConnell just placing his horses. Fenner Cross, much improved. That win in that Supreme trial hurl, if you like, was very impressive. But again, can't seem good enough. I think things like the Phony War at the minute, if that makes sense. You know, horses are getting good winning brackets on summer type ground, and Shrewd Connections are placing to maximum effect. And Low Sun was the team of the day, and it's Sunday, was it?
Yeah. Okay, right. How do we fix this, fam? Because we need to fix it. We can fix it on this podcast. How do we fix this? I don't want to see any more obstacles omitted.
Yeah, look, it's very frustrating, and it's not a good look in any way, shape, or form. Particularly when you get to the stage of taking out hurdles late on, delayed races. Some was there 30, 40 years ago. Now Peter Scudamore is 100 years ago. It's 1,000 years ago. It was there, of course. But Peter Scudamore, and people on it, you know, they shouldn't be taken out. And maybe it's gone to an extreme now. And I'm not as much as I'm in favour of jockeys having the power and safety, I don't think it should be their call either. I think it puts them in an unfair position, but that's the situation in England, whereas in Ireland, it's down to the stewards in consultation with the riders. I think the power is not really putting too much pressure on the riders to make a call, and if in doubt, you're going to take it out, if that makes sense. So I don't know the solution. I'm not going down to a hurler or chase fence, and if you're not happy to do it, they're doing it every day of the week. You have to respect that, but it is, as a viewer and as a participant and as a punter as well, it's very frustrating. If you're backing a horse like that thrives in jumping and it effectively becomes a flat race, should you get your money back? Should they be reformatted betting? I don't know, but it's not time to do that. It's not practical. So look, the zigzagging out of hurdles in the Grey Wood was horrible to watch. You know, I just think it's either take the hurdles out completely, run between the wings like a bumper, give yourself time to do that. At least visually it'd be more satisfying. And they're lucky that in the Grey Wood, there was a small field. There was only two horses to count it from the 6 furlongs out, 5 furlongs out. So there was no interference, no horse getting squeezed out. But it's not satisfactory, and more qualified people. But I do think there needs to be a coming together of all parties to find a solution. It's not good for the sport. And when jump racing struggling for competitiveness and runners, it's not a help.
No, it's disappointing. Yeah, I know. Well, it seems like a lot of reports say, Ken Blake wrote an article on At the Races saying they just don't do it in France. They just run the races. I think he made a good point that a lot of the jumps tracks in France, I don't think you can take the hurdles out because they're basically the whole way across the track, aren't they? They're like embedded into the track. So maybe that's why they don't take them out, because they literally can't. But it doesn't seem like, I don't know. Look, I don't have the stats. I don't ride horses. You know, I don't know. I know some people do say that horses, obviously their eyes are in a different place. Mm. So it may not actually affect them because they're on the side of their heads or in the front of their heads. We're getting into pretty niche stuff here. and then again, by the same token, eventing where they have cross country on day two of their 3-day events, they don't seem to ever omit obstacles for lots of, I don't know. It's frustrating.
I don't know a solution. And, safety is paramount, but it's kind of finding the balance between that and the competitiveness of the sport and having the action. And I don't know where you're going to go with it. It's kind of genie's out of the bottle now. If they jump on and it's not the right thing to do, you know, it's a hard one.
The only way to go is we either start at 10 in the morning and or just summer jumps. we rule out jump. We move the flat to the winter, all at Dundalk.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the way the ground's going last Sunday in Navan, you could add flat racing there, no jumping.
Perfect.
Anyway.
Happy days. Global warming has forced the hand, folks. So we're now going to have the Derby on December 22nd, and we'll have the Gold Cup in July. Right, we've solved it on the podcast. Happy days.
But I do think history is a way of repeating itself. If a meeting 12 months ago had a problem with low sun, that should be taken into account with timing of the race. So I don't know why they don't have a record of what went on a year, 12 months, 24 months, whatever.
Mr. Burns, he had the plan back in The Simpsons. He was just going to block out the sun. Right, we might get on to him. Right, let's go back to Dundalk. Let's talk about the first of a load of extra place races. This is an apprentice handicap, so Colin Keane will not be riding in this race. This is a race over the trip of a mile, and we've got 3 rows and upwards in this. Again, looking at a potential horse towards the top of the market, Ella Bella, Jaffel, Star Days. I imagine those are going to be the three. Ella Bella, recent winner. Jaffel, a recent second. Are those two to concentrate on?
At the top of the market, it will be. Ella Bella done extremely well to win recently. I think it was her fourth course win, and she's only gone up £5 for that. Front runner, when she gets out in front and she's on song, she's very, very hard to pass, as was proven last week when she beat back in second Miss Abby Jules, of course, who was one of her naps of the evening, unfortunately. But look, she's still in low grade. She's got Jack Carney on, who knows her well now, having won on her, and she's likely to make a bold bid from the front. Number one, Jaffel, can't have him at a mile. He's a strong traveller. He's yet to win a race. He has been placed on multiple occasions up here, but at Seven Foreigns last time. He's outstayed by the winner, and Daniel King will have to be very, very patient and just save all the energy he can to get him to win at a mile. And then you have a couple of interesting ones down the bottom, PK, 13, Double Martini. If he came out of gates for John McCollum and Siobhan Rutledge, he'd be a big player. He just doesn't get out of gates cleanly. He loses all chance effectively and keeps on when the race is all over. And Aidan McGuinness, Leclerc, down the bottom, is an eye catcher last time and is likely raced along with Johnny Murtagh, Scipio's defence, who could improve down in grade, although he's got a wide draw in stalled 16, but another furlong will suit Scipio's defence and he could well beat Jaffel. They're not much between them when they last met. However, at the top end of the market, I do think Alabella could be overbet. I want to pose Jaffel. Maximum respect for the McGuinness runner, number 14. But number 8, Malaysian, formerly with Jessica Harrington, is really interesting and was with the Macaulay team at one point. Rated in the 80s 18 months ago, has only one race to date. But she's been pretty consistent. I loved her last run here. First run for the stable. She not run since mid-April. And she travelled really well on what was an overly strong pace for the grade. The winner, Zonic, who done us a good turn, came home really well from near last. So they obviously went off far too quick for what they were. With the benefit of that run, she's only beaten four lengths. She got tired inside the final furlong. Dylan Brown McMonagall is booked to ride. Very good draw in stall too. She'll be value in this race. And if stripping fitter, which she should, off mark of 54, she should be very competitive.
If Malaysian wins, yourself and Kevin are going to have to diversify your cuisine and go get a Malaysian curry on the way home rather than the local Chinese.
I've been trying to get him to Japanese for the last 3 years. It hasn't worked, so yeah.
I'm actually heading out for Japanese tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll send you some pictures. I'll tweet you some pictures while you're working hard. Right, Malaysian, the one each way, I assume.
Win only. I'm happy.
Okay,
Malaysian,
interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's going to be value, and I think it's that type of filly leader winner be last. So I think that tonight's Friday night's her night, and with the champion apprentice select, who does have a connection with the Moore stable, is a Donegal-based operation, but I just like our profile.
Yeah, it's a bit of an anomaly that Dylan can still ride in these races. Yourself and Kevin were talking about it. Essentially, it's because while he is, I don't think he's officially apprentice anymore, but because you get to the end of the year, isn't it?
He's got three more weeks or six more weeks or whatever Dundalk is going on to ride as an apprentice, and trainers are making full use of that, yeah.
And so they should. Excellent jockey. Speaking of apprentice handicaps, one more to come, 6:30. It's the second division of the race we just talked about. And a regular horse we've talked about since she has so close to winning that, but she's been running really well her last three starts. Miss Abby Jules, Mick Halford, Dylan Brown McMonagall booked. I'm not going to mention any other horse, Fran. Surely it's the one.
It is the one, but I have a good story about number 3, Cousin Shane. Not a good story. It's a heartbreaking story, actually. Horse I've really liked for quite a length of time. I thought he's very well handicapped, and he went up to Dundalk, what is it now, 9 days ago. I've backed him that morning at 12 or 14 to 1. Just thought, you know, today's the day to promise enough comeback run in mid-September there. And anyway, he continued to drift out in the machine. He went out to 25 to 1. He looked a little bit big in the ring. So I took a cash out on mistake with a 20% discount on it. So I've done my money before I even start. And I'm there working for Racing TV, and Lion Ring and a couple others are, you know, quickening down the outside. Next thing you see, this thing in red and white just flashing home to get up on the line. He wins a course of 12 to 1. I've took the cash out. It's just not pretty.
When you said a sad story, I thought there was going to be, you know, genuine heartbreak here. Well, I suppose that is kind of genuine heartbreak, but of a very different nature.
I was having a bad day punting, so I lost my button. So.
Well, they got a lot worse after that. That's worse than backing a loser. That is by far. Okay, well, Cousin Shay's caused you some heartbreak, but Miss Abby Jules the one to beat?
Yeah, look, on Cousin Shay, he's could still be very, very well handicapped, and connections put a hood on him, which will help him relax. But he got an overly strong pace to aim at on that occasion over 7 furlongs. And stepping up to mile, I'd be worried he would not relax for Siobhan Rutledge, although the hood should help. I just think he's more of a 7 furlong horse than a miler. And you've also got Circles, who ran really well here recently and is definitely one that's getting near a winning mark. And the extra furlong should suit number 7 Circles very well. But I just think that Miss Abby Jules in this grade is still very well handicapped. Stabler going extremely well. Stalled 15 last week against Alabella. Had three or four lengths to make up on that winner inside the final two furlongs. I don't think, with a kinder draw, excuse me, if she had a kinder draw on that occasion, she would have won. She's got a good draw on stalled 7. Dylan Brown is booked to ride. And I think there's one more goal, Miss Abby Jules. But Circles and Cousin Cher are two worthy opponents.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for those two in the second division of the Apprentice Handicap.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Now, if you're listening to this podcast before lunchtime on Friday afternoon, you still have an opportunity to watch, I don't know what channel, but hopefully you'll be able to find it somewhere, the Bahrain International Trophy.
Racing TV.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much. No better man to remind us. It might be, I'm sure you can read a preview in Sporting Life as well. The Bahrain International Trophy, 105 on Friday afternoon. The reason, I wouldn't normally bring this up, mile and a quarter, but Willie McCreary, he's a very, very shrewd operator. He's sent over the wonderful mare, Insinuendo. She's 6-1 at the time of recording. She's fourth favourite for a huge money race. We're four places in it. This could be an inspired bit of placing by William Perry.
Yeah, and it's going to be her last run, I believe. I think she's going to the December sales. Remarkable filly for connections. Done nothing but improved. Has run some big race in defeat and also multiple group winner. Last time at Ascot, that filly's and mare's race, Champions Day, being her best run to date. First time over a mile and a half on that occasion. Maybe she picked up the pieces to some extent. She's ridden with restraint and finish off well on testing enough ground. Lot to like about the run. I just don't know about her on very firm ground, which you're going to get tomorrow in Bahrain. The bulk of her form is with a cut in the ground, and maybe she'll go in at once. It's a flat enough track. There's a downhill run down the back straight with a sharp home turn. Normally favours prominent racers, and for that reason, I could only look at and cheer on in Insinuendo tomorrow. I can't back her with the makeup of the run, and hopefully she can perform well for connections. I think if it's back one horse, it'd be Royal Fleet, William Buick, Charlie Appleby coming off the plane, and Godolphin or Mob handed Saeed Binsur, Passion and Glory, and Magni Coors is interesting for Andrew Frab as well, but very much a race to watch. The local horses, Frankie rides the top one, Dillabar, who's been in good form in France prior to switching here, but in Insinuendo, the heart is cheering for the head, says not.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But good shout by William McCreary. Ushi Noor going over to ride as well. They mentioned Royal Fleet is 4-1 as we speak for that race. It's Geoff 105 from Sakir or Bahrain, if you want to search for it on paddypower.com. I think you might be able to see it on that, but Racing TV, as Fran rightly said, you can tune into that. That'd be a nice little trip. You can get that one. It's a different one. We'll go out to Bahrain as well on Friday.
Didn't get that trip. Now, that'd be nice. Yeah, and it's an upcoming part of the world. They did a turf series last year that done well. Did well for them, and it's back this year, and we'll see. I think we'd see plenty of Irish horses out there. I believe there's plenty of horses in the mid-80s type of horse going out there for good prize money. So it's a welcome initiative.
It is for them. It means we've got no horses left, but sure, look, that's the problem. they keep going elsewhere because it's big money elsewhere.
They can't go jumping and take on Cougar and all of that type of horse anyway. So it's, yeah.
I tell you, it wouldn't be the worst thing to go jumping right now, because you put a horse in a group two or grade two, you're probably only running against three or four horses. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. 7 o'clock at Dundalk. This is probably one of the better races on the card. It's a rated race for those who are newish to the game. That basically means that you can enter this horse, or you can enter this race dependent on your rating. It's slightly different to a handicap. It's weird, the conditions though. This is for 3 years and upwards, which at entry are 75, rated 75 or less, but then in brackets, but it's also open to horses rated 76 to 90. Now, obviously you're going to carry penalty for the higher the rating. Good race this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, proper race. I actually hate rated races. From a punting point of view, they're normally extremely competitive. You get a mix up in the ratings with the winner's penalties and that coming into effect. But look, they create their own, you know, market. But I just find them hard as regards finding winners, if that makes sense, you know, because it creates like this race tonight or Friday night, very, very competitive field. You work your way down Trudon PK. Number three, final voyage for Johnny Mort is really interesting. Finished off really well last time over 6 furlongs. And he's a multiple winner in the UK when trained by James Tate. He's been dropping down the ratings for Johnny And on the turf, he ran extremely well back in April behind Punk Poet in at Cork in a very competitive 7 furlong handicap. I just get the feeling he's ready to strike for connections and will be a big player here. Number 5, Hot Rocket. Joseph Bryan has picked up this horse for Team Valor, who do well with this type of purchase. He was a very impressive winner, beating Elephant John at Fairy House when last seen for John Murphy. That was back in July, and he could improve massively with time and the Polytrack looking at his action. And then you've Tory Angel, who cost us a few quid with a nap recently when winning over mile that I didn't think she could get, and she was a very good winner on that occasion. And then you're down to Might and Mercy, of course. That was heartbreaking last week, wasn't it? Yeah,
she hit the front, and I wouldn't say that she hit the front too soon, because it's not really, she broke so well. And like Dylan was hardly going to do anything else. It's like, right, then go win your race. But that down the outside, I don't know if that filly coming down the, was it a filly or I can't remember, the one that won the race. If that had come maybe earlier, maybe she would have had a chance to respond. I don't know. But yeah, big drift as well. At least if you backed her each way, you got a return.
Yeah, she ran very well. But I just think, like you're saying, things didn't fall right for her in the day, if that makes sense. The pace collapsed in front of her and she found herself in front sooner than ideal. And I think she just idled, lost momentum.
Maybe. Yeah.
And connections obviously feel the same. They've gone for the first time cheek pieces. And that could be the key to her. She's got a very good draw in stall 4. I just think her overall form, PK, she does need to step forward here to take on some of these. And it's a proper competitive race. But I'd be looking at the higher rated horses. And it's just very hard to get away from Hot Rocket. I just think the stable switch, a team to do very well with identifying these horses that could improve. And out of stall 1 on the surface for the first time, he'd be very hard to beat against Final Voyage, who is very interesting. But drawn in stall 13, I'll go with the Joseph Bryan trainer out of stall 1, number 5, Hot Rocket.
Can't believe you. You've left Might and Mercy's Dale. You're a disgrace, Franberry. To give context.
will you text your mom there and find out what's happening?
I was just going to say, to give context, my father has a leg in Might and Mercy. So we got a brilliant text last week for the pod where mum texted and said, we hope she wins. That was all the info I got. Now, Dad obviously listened and is giving me a proper text here for you, Fran. He said she's backing up because it's a while before another suitable race for her. This looks a better race compared to last week. You're right there, Dad. She'll be held up if possible, and cheap pieces may help. So I think Dad and yourself are on the same kind of tune that, the cheap pieces will help. Maybe don't get there as quick. But yeah, it's a better race, I think.
Yeah, it's just a step up in grade, if you like. Now, she comes out well to ratings and is entitled to improve for the run, but I prefer it's a handicap carry more weight for than this kind of race, maybe.
I agree. I think there's potentially a few pretty smart horses here. But as Dad said, there's just no suitable races for her in the next while. So they'll run here and see how she goes. But as mentioned, Hot Rocket, the one to beat for Joseph O'Brien, Dylan Brown, McMonagall. That Dylan, you could have won on her last week, didn't you? Right, let's move on to the 7:30.
Dylan's going to be having a good night by race 5, actually, the way we're thinking,
Does sound like that. It does sound like he's going to be making hay while all the lads are getting absolutely slaughtered in Prague. The 7:30s.
They're going to Health Farm for the weekend.
Of course they are. I've no doubt. It's all about mental well-being as they're a stag to Prague. The 7:30 is another extra place race, and this race is topped in the weights by Royal Tribute for Dennis Hogan. But Teddy Boy, Kabil, Kuwait Direction, I think they're probably going to be 3 to follow. What are you thinking?
Yeah, start with number 3, Kabil, who was one in Gorham Park 2 starts ago, and was actually heavily backed on the day, pulled off a bit of a touch for connections. Could only watch him at the distance. 6 furlongs, I think, is inadequate for him. And I'd be just wary of him on the Polytrack to a point. So I think he's a watch and brief on this occasion. Royal Tribute, he needs to get out of the gate sooner or better than he has done in the past. He's got a good draw, number 1. Install 3, and Tammany Hall and Kingsview for the McKenna team both have been running with credit, and under day would have a chance. Kingsview a likely pace angle into the race, and number 12, Florence Thompson, has been really running well for connections, new connections in recent starts, but look, she's had 30 runs. She's yet to win. I don't think she does anything wrong. Just is limited in ability off her rating and is vulnerable always to 1 or 2 improvers. And I think Teddy Boy, number 5, will relish being back on a Polytrack PK. He's the winner here last January, doing it in good style. Ran really well recently in Navan, finishing off well, as he often does at Navan, against the hill behind Stanhope. He's only a couple of pounds higher than winning here early in the year, and with a good draw in stall 6, he's going to make it 4 wins in a night for Dylan Brown McMonagall.
I was just counting them as you were finishing up. I was like, is this another Dylan Brown McMonagall horse he's tipped up? So that's 4 winners for him by the time we get to the 7:30. My word. Okay. And he doesn't ride, obviously, in the first. Well, not obviously. I don't think he rides in the first. So
he can take the rest of the night off after that, actually, yeah.
Oh, first right. Dylan Brown McMonagall. He's got a good chance in the next race as well. The 8 o'clock. We'll come to that.
He's got two gimmies in the apprentice race anyway. So that's
he's not even an apprentice. He shouldn't even ride with it. Before we get on to the remaining Dylan Brown McMonagall wins, the weekend ahead, we're recording on Thursday morning, by the way, early afternoon. So we don't know the decorations for Sunday, but we do know the decorations for Punchestown. And we obviously know the entries for Sunday. Who should be looking out for at Punchestown over the weekend, please, Fran?
Yeah, look, first race, Kilcroat, obviously, Journey With Me is there, Broomfield's Jeremy, likeable horses, but Kilcroat, debut over fences, may not have seen the best of him over hurdles. Be excited to see him. Disappointed not to see Flame Bear in the race. Was sick when he was withdrawn last week. Right thing to do at Navan. I think the ground was just far too quick for your first run of the year, if you like, but be interested to see where Willie goes with Flame Bear. But Kilcroat is a standout there. And I think Saturday is very much a watching brief at Dundalk with a view to the future. That second race, Hallowed Star, Mars Harper, Barney Cullia, who pulled off a good result for the Mulvaney team in the second race of the day. And that 2:13 race, the Mayor's Hurdle, is a very ordinary race for the grade. I'd be very happy to watch that. So it's more about Sunday for me in Punchestown, I think, yeah. And Cork, of course.
Hang on, Franberry. I'm not letting you get away without talking about Benno in the Maiden Hurdle drop at 1:38 in the JP Silks. Joseph Trains, he was smart. I wasn't supposed to talk about him.
In my defence, he's entered in Cork as well, you see.
He's declared for Saturday. So my assumption is he's going to go there. This is a very talented flat horse, 102 rated, making his hurdling debut. He ran in the Ebor 2 starts ago. He could be very good.
Could be very good. A strong traveller on the flat over distance, and not sure we've seen the best of him in the last year plus. He just hasn't really gone on, but he's been set some stiff tasks on a few occasions, and he hasn't had the most amount of running consistently, if you like. Very exciting switching to the hurdles, and could be in a different league to me. He was, of course, entered on Sunday against Absolute Notions in race one at Cork, who was very impressed with winning at the Punchestown Festival for Gordon Elliott. And that look a penalty kick in Cork now with the absence of Benno. He just looks like he could be high-class prospect the way he won at Punchestown. He's in the first race at Cork, and he can back Benno now and Absolute Notions, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There's the double. Is there any, before we go back to Dundalk, of the Sunday entries, what caught your eye? Obviously, Morgiana, Willie Mullins wins it, but we don't know with what.
We don't know which what, and it'll be a watching brief. Good day out that day at Punchestown, actually, but a shame about the size of the entries, but that's going to be the story of the winter, I suppose, in some of these races. But Cork, that sixth race of the day, the 250, that mirrors beginner's chase. What a race it is. Dina Blue, you know, people probably got carried away by her at Cheltenham after that win at Clonmel. And she's been running okay on her two starts since then for a likely race filly. She's entered first time over fences. You have Happy Dex, who's been consistent through the summer months for Gordon Elliott. And Rosie's Hollow, high-class mare for McManus team as well. Jonathan Sweeney's mare. She's very good when she's on song. Very good record going right-handed as well. And down the bottom, Tell Me Something Girl. If the three of them turn up, we have a proper race to look at. And Tell Me Something Girl, a winner of Cheltenham, of course, in the past. Unlucky when falling there as well or being brought down, yeah.
Who would you like? You did mention off air that these mares races do tend to get near enough what you get in the entries because they're restricted races. So, of those, which would you be expecting to win, Dino Blue?
I'd be excited by Dino Blue. I don't think we've seen the best for her. I think on her second run going to Cheltenham after a win at Clonmel, I think you can forgive her that. It was more like it at Fairy House and Punchestown where she had a quick turnaround for Fairy House. Three quick runs from March to April. She could be very exciting going chasing, yes. And Tell Me Something Girl is a strong traveller, but Dino Blue is probably the one with more potential to step forward over fences.
Yeah, keep an eye out for those. And as mentioned earlier, myself, Rory Zalargi and Ruby Walsh are going to look at.
And Punchestown race too, of course, PK as well. Go another 3-year-old hurdling. I'm sticking to my flat roots here. Two more McManus runners. My dad will disown me if you listen to this, actually. But good heavens, just beating the Irish Cambridgeshire, of course, and by Federal, a stable companion. He could be very interesting going, jumping, progressive on the flat, and is a good-looking, strong individual who should take to jumping. And Sundial is being moved to Pádraig Róg from Aidan O'Brien, of course, wide margin winner in tough going, and Navin recently over mile and six. We've seen Pádraig do very well with Cougar and Brazil recently, of course, who won at Nace, and he could be a nice horse for that team as well.
Of those two, which do you expect to be better? Over hurdled.
Good heavens.
Good
I think,
heavens.
I think at two miles, Good Heavens will have the speed. I think Sundial, based on what I've seen in Navin, where it turned into a 2.5 mile flat race on tough conditions, he's probably more of a staying type in the making.
Frank Barry, you can start listening again. Don't worry, we're going to stop talking about J.P. O'Mahony's horses. You can start. I'm sure he's an avid listener. I've no doubt. Right. We have two more races to talk about at Dundalk on the Dylan Brown McMonagall show, the 8 o'clock and the 8:30. Going back to another extra place race. Let's just look. Yeah, okay, right. Only one horse to talk about here. It's Jeté Port and it's ridden by Dylan Brown McMonagall. Does he make a five in the night?
He'll be second here, yes. He'll go close. He'll be the story tonight, how it's heartbreaking that Jeté Port, having been keen again out of the gates, just gets tired inside the final 100 yards. And St. Kinian's Fire pounces down the outside under Donal O'Connor to give John McConnell a winner, following up his recent success at this track. Yeah, number 12, St. Kinian's Fire. I think, despite being drawn stalled 17, he got away very lightly with a £5 penalty for winning here recently. He travelled extremely well to race PK. If you stop the video, 4.5 down, he's hard on the bridle, travelling well. And Conor Hogan, his rider, obviously didn't want to commit to going to the front too soon. He sat and the eventual second had the momentum up. But once he picked up St. Kinian's Fire, he'd done enough to win by half a length. Hence, he gets away with a £5 penalty. Was already winner in Punchestown a couple of starts ago. The ground probably beat him in Down Royal on his in-between run. And for me, despite taking on some, you know, Dundalk regulars, New Girl in Town, every hour in the hour, Lord Park for the same team, the McConnell team, was very well backed at the Curran's last start, but he's best watch, I think, on the Poly track. And St. Kinian's Fire to beat Jeté Port inside the final 100 yards, and he'd be very hard to beat.
Lovely. Okay, John McConnell, fresh off a great weekend at Cheltenham with a winner at Dundalk, his beloved Dundalk. And one final race, mile and a half handicap to conclude proceedings. Mephisto, who we saw, I'm pretty sure we saw last week, Jer and Colin Keane, again, combining the father-son team. McMonagall rides Golden Sandbanks for Paul Flynn. Former jockey, didn't he ride for Martin Pipe, didn't he, Paul Flynn?
Philip Hobbs. What's up, boys? Got up to beat Noel Mead's horse, Native Darrick or Native Dara in Carl Cup.
Carl Cup with the pretense, one of those handicaps anyway. Yeah, Paul Flynn, yeah, remember him.
Bit of a character, Paul. Yeah, he's good value when we get him on a Friday night, yeah.
Get him on again then. So what wins the closer?
Closer, number 8, well funded, I'm very interested in. Trained by Owen McCarthy. He's a trainer that you need to take note of. He went to Listowel. It's a local enough track to him. And I think, from what I can recall, he may have had one winner, but he'd 5 or 6 seconds through the week, having targeted the meeting. And he does very well with what he has. I have maximum respect for him as a trainer. And number 8, well funded, was a good winner over hurdles at Punchestown on her second last start. And previously, obviously, won the stole back in September to Festival over hurdles as well. Thought it was a very eye-catching run here to Polytrack last week. Was very slowly away. Sat last throughout and finish off best of all, running up the heels of the leaders late on to be, okay, 8, but only beaten 2.5 lengths. Let the video run on by the win line, PK. She's in front 50 yards by line, galloping out by everything. And despite being drawn out a bit wide, I think Jack Enright have learned a bit about the filly, learned a bit about the track, and she should be sharper for the run. I think she'd be very hard to beat and shouldn't be out of money for the connections. They're coming back up here again from County Limerick. So look, I think well funded is the one to like most. You have Mephisto, number 12, every chance as well. And Tully Polani and Golden Sandbags have decent hurdle form. But on this occasion, I'm happy to take them on. And Musaheb, trained by Shark Hannon, will be popular in the betting as well. Well funded is value though.
Lovely. God, you feel for the staff of Owen McCarthy's yard. I mean, we're gonna have a run at Dundalk again. All right, okay, up the N7 and then the N1. What time is the race? 8:30. Oh my God.
It's a long way home. You know, it's a Friday night and, you know, the horse box 55 miles an hour. It's, yeah, crazy.
You're still working at miles an hour, are you, Fran?
Yes, yeah.
Good. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Fan of the Imperial.
I lived in England for 3 years during the Banks of Vote, you see. So.
Fan of the Imperial system, Fran Berry. Right, let's get your best bets of the night. We had a lovely shot at winning NAP last week. Mm. We had 3 out of 4 in the each way ACCA. So, right, let's continue that. Go NAP, next best, whatever it is on your ACCA.
Okay, NAP is St. Kinian's Fire Race 7. Don't normally NAP won a handicap, but I think this lad is streets ahead of the handicapper. Despite being drawn and stalled at 17, there's a lot of pace in the race. It should suit him well. Chitay Port will make the market, and I think St. Kinian's Fire will be decent value and well handicapped and should be hard to beat. That's race 7. Going to contradict myself here, PK, a little bit, because I'm going to go with an each way four-timer, ACCA, Yankee, whichever way you want to do it. We'll start in race 1. Sea Spray, Jessica Harrington's, will be a price in this race. I don't think we've seen the best of him on debut to Cora in what was a very strong race. If he settles, being by Zooster, he could be a big player in what is probably a weak enough race for the time of the year, and he should run into the money at least. And Moonlight Mist, race 2. Far better than her form of a run at Gorham Park. Her debut run at Thurles was extremely good. I can see her running a big race against Sweetest Rose, who won a pose. Unless one of the debutants is strong, I think Moonlight Mist is definitely going to be there or thereabouts. And contradicting myself in a third race, Malaysian each way is going to be a bit of value for Dylan Bramwick Monaghan, the first of his four-timer. 4 wins on Friday night should be bang there. And finally, in the last race today, well-funded will be each way value. So the four of them in an each way Yankee, I suppose, ACCA, whichever one way you want to play it, but they're all value. And I think they all will outrun their odds, if you like.
Yeah, of course, you just got place only fourfold if you do fancy, if you think Fran's going to hit the crossbar with a few of those. But at least
particularly in the handicaps with the extra place and offer. Yeah, that's a big swing, you know.
That does help. I have referenced IrishRacing.com tissue prices for a reason. but what I will say is that they currently have every horse you've said there is 4 to 1 or bigger.
Mm.
So there we go. So every horse, including your NAP.
Which one is 4 to 1 then?
That was your NAP, was 4 to 1.
Oh, Keane's Fire, yeah.
St. Keane's Fire was the only one that was 4 to 1. The rest are very much each way prices. Listen, Frank, thanks very much for your chat on all things racing this weekend. I hope that you and the Paris B decide to put my plan of action. Summer jumps only, winter flat, that'll do it. No more low sun. Happy days, we're done.
Everyone be happy, yeah.
Everyone be happy. More racing done off for you. Anyway, you'll be absolutely delighted.
Exactly. We're waiting for Tipperary to be built and we can have 6 days a week then, yeah.
Oh, we can have Irish Champions weekend. One day at Tipperary and one day at Dundalk.
Like Santa Anita.
This is Brad. Enjoy the week. Any plans for the weekend before we go?
Yeah, I'm on babysitting duty on Sunday. I won't make Punchestown. My wife is going to a birthday party with a bunch of girls to Punchestown for the day out, and Saturday I might sneak out for a pint, but I'm doing a Japan Cup preview on Sunday morning for Racing TV, so I'm looking forward to that, to get stuck into that, and I'll be in studio the following week to review the race, so looking forward to all that. Yeah,
sweet, excellent, look forward to seeing those on Racing TV. We've got 2 mentions and no mentions of Sporting Life,
and the Willie Mullins column will be on Sporting Life on Friday as well.
Check out news.paddypower.com for all the goodies you'll ever need, folks, by the way, as well. Listen,
and the 6 runners in Morgana we'll be talking about as well. So yeah.
Oh Jesus, all 6. Yeah, you sure you should know who's running at this stage. Right, Ghostwriter extraordinaire Fran, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week to talk all things Dundalk and everything else that's happened to the race. Take it easy, lads.